Back for this 16th episode. So you might notice a difference in the timbre of my voice. I got the cove. I made it this long into, you know, the ongoing crisis that this is the first time I got it. But it was bad. I've been basically asleep for the last 10 days. And it totally fucked up a pretty big trip that me and Poon Master Flex were planning. So I'll sound a little different, maybe a little lower energy, and I apologize for that. Also, I just want to tell everyone out there, like, you know, I've tried to be like, just go get a vaccine and like, just be smart and whatever. And like, it's definitely partially my fault that this happened. However, I just want to encourage everybody to, when you're sick, just stay home. Just fucking stay home. You know what I mean? Especially if it's like COVID or flu or something like that. Don't just not test for it because you're like, whatever. You know what I mean? It's not a big deal anymore. It's like, well, it is. For some of us, we get it, and it's a pretty big deal. So, yeah, just stay the fuck home, okay? Don't go out and go out into the world and be like that monkey in the movie Outbreak. Okay, back to our regularly planned programming. So today, we've got a book, The Snowman, by R.L. Stein. First, this passage. Heather hated the way Mel looked at his watch every time she arrived at work, and she hated the stupid uniform. It was so coarse and ugly and made her look and feel 40 years old, which I was like, fuck you, you fucking bitch, 40 years old. Like, that was a million years old. So this is a non-Goosebumps horror that came out about a year before Goosebumps started. And it's got a horror angle, but it's not so much supernatural. It seems like maybe R.L. Stein and the publisher were trying to figure out the exact right audience for these kinds of books. This one's a little more grown up, but also a little bit not. It's kind of like it feels like it's more grown up, and if you were a kid reading it, you'd be like, this is for older teens. But if you were actually those older teens, you'd be like, no, this is definitely for little kids. The Snowman starts with our hero, Heather, fantasizing about the gruesome death of her uncle, who seems like kind of a jerk, but what makes it extra weird is that Heather's fantasizing about her uncle dying by falling off a ladder, and at the same time, she's making out with her boyfriend. So she's fantasizing in her head while she's making out. I mean, that's a little sick, right? This is our hero, and it's like starting a book with a scene where I'm fantasizing about railing Elvira while I'm at my mom's funeral. But it doesn't matter too much, because pretty soon Heather abandons her nice boyfriend, Ben, for the mysterious Snowman. Snowman is a teen with white hair and dark eyes, and he walks into the diner where Heather works, and she gives him free food, mostly because he's cute. This is something I cannot relate to. I have one friend who is objectively handsome, and he'll sometimes say things like, you know how you'll be at a bar and someone buys you a drink and sidles up to you? And I'm like, no, stop. I don't know how that is. No one knows how that is except for you. Just, you know, enjoy that this is the life you're living. Later, Snowman comes by again, and Heather says she doesn't usually date customers, which, come on. A high school waitress at a diner, are you serious? You don't have to be that professional when you're 16 and a small-town diner waitress. Anyone who expects that of you is insane. Besides, she quits her job later by changing in the bathroom, wadding up that uniform she hates and makes her look 40, and then she throws the crumpled uniform in the corner of the bathroom floor. Not the most professional severing of the employment relationship. Now, if I was in Snowman's shoes, I would take that I don't date customers rebuke as Heather probably trying to save me the embarrassment of just straight up turning me down. But Snowman is like, technically, you paid for my food, so I'm not a customer. Because he's a mooch and not a paying customer, technically he's eligible for dating. Because, you know, he's worse than someone who would be a customer's. Can you believe the balls on this guy? In fact, Snowman comes in again after they start dating, doesn't pay, but does leave a drawing of a snowman instead of money, which is kind of like that internet prank where the guy gave a drawing of a spider in lieu of payment for something. And Heather is charmed by this. What is wrong with high school girls? I ask about girls because I already know what's wrong with high school boys. Their body composition is like 70% semen, and there's a poisonous level of horniness in their bodies. But the specific problems of girls are a little more mysterious to me. The rest of the book is your standard chick meets snowman, snowman turns out to be a murderer scumbag, and he kills the chick's uncle, who Heather kind of hates, but not like on the level of wanting to kill him, I guess just on the level of fantasizing about his death while she makes out with her boyfriend. The problem is that Heather gave Snowman a check, which was supposedly for Snowman's sick brother's kidney operation or whatever, but then Snowman reveals that he'll tell the cops that Heather paid him to kill her uncle if she squeals that he did it, so then she'll be in trouble too. He keeps the check she wrote in his pocket, which I'm like, bro, just cash that shit. You can have the money and the bank will have a record of the transaction. This is win-win. You know, on the other hand, on the one hand, dating a homicidal maniac in your teens is a terrible idea. On the other, maybe a cute boy who happens to be a murderer. Maybe if you're going to date a scumbag who is constantly mooching off you before he decides to murder someone in your family and then blackmail you, your late teens is the right time to do that. Forget your nice boyfriend Ben and instead go out with the guy whose hair is all white and calls himself Snowman and who, at some point, starts flirting pretty hard with your aunt and living in the garage above your house like he's the goddamn Fonz, who is constantly coming to the restaurant where you work and getting you in trouble because you give him free food. I'm not suggesting people date the worst of society. I'm just saying that if you're going to, if you can't help yourself and it's just part of your destiny, if your trajectory is set and there's no talking you down, it's probably better to get it out of the way at 17 than at 37, right? It's probably better to go to prom with a douche than it is to be married to one, have four kids, and then only sort of realize that your husband sucks. In which case, I guess The Snowman might be a better horror novel for the parents of young girls. Your daughter's going to date a man who kills you and then extorts her. Or perhaps the adult version is marrying someone you've never met who is in prison. You don't want to be one of those weirdos who marry someone in prison and they never have a relationship on the outside. I just discovered there's a How to Marry Someone in Prison article on eHow. And, you know, just that exists, and I guess implies that it's a common enough question that it warrants an article. One thing I do like in this book, so many hitman stories feature a slick hitman in a suit who kills people for like $1 million from a building like 100 miles away with some rifle. But in reality, every person hired to kill someone else is a slovenly piece of shit paid like $4,000 and maybe given a semi-operational jet ski to sweeten the deal. Which is, I think, why so many of these hits fail. It's not like these are honorable weirdos with a code of ethics and who fear that if they don't get the job done, the housewife is going to bring the mob down on them. No, this is just some dude who is so hard up, he'll kill a stranger for a couple grand. If he was such a great guy or had all these amazing skills, he wouldn't be in this position in the first place. Plus, You know they're stupid, because if the hitman only gets paid a couple $1,000s to do a job, it doesn't take a genius to say, you know, I bet this guy I'm getting paid to kill would double whatever I'm being paid to not kill him. I mean, like, if someone paid $2,000 for someone to kill me and then they're like, but for four, I won't do it. I'd be like, well, okay. Like, yeah, I'm going to bring the cops in and stuff, but I could start by paying you $4,000. My life isn't worth a lot, but it's worth $4,000. I've told Poonmaster Flex that if she starts contemplating hiring someone to kill me, just steal all my money and leave me instead. That'd be preferable. And then she stays out of jail. That's kind of a win-win. And you know you've got a bad outlook on the future when you consider your wife leaving you destitute, just barely avoiding hiring a hitman to kill you. When that's what you're calling a future win-win, that is one bleak outlook, man. Do you think one, not me, but one, could make a living taking hitman jobs from individuals and just never doing them? You get paid, you make an anonymous call to the cops, and you keep the money while also maybe saving someone's life? I mean, you get paid half up front, and then that's good enough? What happens to the half you got paid up front if you, like, alert the cops? Who does that belong to? I don't have to give it back to the person who hired me to kill their spouse, right? Because that wouldn't make any sense. And why should the cops get it? They didn't do anything. So the whole payment scheme in this book is fairly believable, and that's something I appreciate. Anyway, the sort of dark portion of the book is that the snowman knocks out Heather and packs her into a snowman, like actually one made out of snow, trapping her until she's half dead. But she's got a lighter or something that she got from her dead parents or whatever, and that somehow allows her to melt the snow and escape. I mean, yeah, packed inside a snowman is gruesome, but it seems like a highly impractical, fairly easily escaped way to die. I think if you're going to commit to packing a living person into a snowman, you need to stick around and see if they escape by using a lighter or perhaps just pushing reasonably hard and toppling the upper ball. So, I mean, pretty alright book, but I would have preferred a living snowman terrorizing people. R.L. Stine would go on to write a Goosebumps with an actual snowman monster, Beware the Snowman, so maybe once he got more into the paranormal, he gained the confidence to go full stupid.
Beware, you're in for a scare.